We're going to kick off in verse 11. And so, let's see what the Lord has done. All right. If you're there.
There.
All right. Got one, so we'll get rolling. So we kept on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of the Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop there. Paul is wrapping up, or this is his second letter to the church in Thessalonica. And he continues and he goes, so we keep on praying. We keep praying for you. It's not like a one and done thing, like, well, I prayed and that's good enough. No, keep praying for people. Keep praying for one another. Keep praying for each other in the church. If you don't know their names, go up to them and ask them, hey, what's your name? I want to pray for you. Pray for one another. There's something that takes place in the supernatural when you start praying for one another. Because guess what? You'll start seeing them in a different view. See, we get to pray for one another. That's what we get to do as a church body. You get to pray for me, I get to pray for you. We get to encourage one another. How else will you know what to say to the person if you're not praying for them? See, it's so interesting. Look, if you pray for your neighbors, guess what? You're going to give opportunities to know how to minister to them because you're going to be praying for them and God's going to drop something in your spirit what to say to them. See, when you pray for your friends and your neighbor, and Paul's saying right here, pray for each other in the church because we're all supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to say, hey man, keep going after. You're doing great. You're looking good today. Well, I'm proud of you. When's the last time you had somebody say, hey, they're proud of you? Years, huh? See, sometimes we need to encourage one another. That's what Paul's saying here. He goes, pray, because when you pray, you'll have words for different people. You'll have an encouraging word. And sometimes it might not sound encouraging to you, but it's going to encourage them. Because sometimes you don't know what they're going through. In the month of October, we had our revival meeting as they came. And he spoke to somebody. He goes, this church will be full. And I've been saying that for the last 2 months before he showed up. He had no clue. And then in that prayer time, a young lady came up and she goes, I need prayer for my husband, our marriage, our kids, and also I have a health issue with my thyroid. I'm like, man, that's a list. This is the first time she's walked in our church. I'm like, okay, Lord. So I prayed for her and her husband, her children. I don't remember what I prayed for. Then I go, hey, Denise, you take care of the thyroid. And guess what? She shows up in November, once again. And she goes, she comes up for prayer at the end. And she goes, you know something? You prayed for me last time. I go, yeah. I go, I don't remember what I prayed for. And all of a sudden, she goes, started saying, you know, I started reading God's word more. I started fasting more. I started drawing closer to God. And now my husband's turning back to God. And he's desiring to see God. Because he came back from overseas on a deployment, all beat up, and didn't want anything to do with God. And when he went over there, he wanted stuff of God. We don't know what took place overseas, but we know what can take place in prayer. And so I'm telling you that if you're having a relationship that's rough and tough, Start praying. Start fasting, because God can move. I've seen more people healed, saved, and delivered while I'm fasting than any other time, especially salvations. That's the reason why we kick off the first 21 days every year with prayer and fasting. That's the reason why we take a week a little bit later in spring. Every night we gather to pray and fast and see what God has. Because there's something that happens when we encourage one another, when we pray for one another. And then not just on top of that, she goes, also, my thyroid's been healed. I don't take any more medicine for it. I was like, praise the Lord. That's the God we serve. See, sometimes, well, that's good for her. What about me? Encourage one another. Guess what? If God can do that for her, He can do that for you. Because He's not a respecter of persons. He can do that for your neighbor who has no clue about God. Because if healing's just for His children, there's people who've been healed who don't know Jesus. Why can't He do that for me as His child? See, we're supposed to encourage one another through prayer. Paul's saying, so we keep praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of His calling. What has He called you to do? Are you living a life that God can say, wow, look at my child? See, a lot of times we look good out in public. I mean, I look good today.
Good.
I love it.
But when I go home, I don't look this good. Especially after I get done working out. I don't look good at all. Hair is all atrocious, stinky, sweaty. You name it, it's not good. See, what you do in private matters to God as much as you do in public. Because what people don't see will actually come out in the open, and people will eventually see it. See, the thing about Paul saying, I'm praying that you don't just live a life worthy in the public realm of what people see, but you live a life worthy when people are not looking around that God can be proud of. God's excited about. That you're not living a life that, like over here out in public, like, look at me, I'm looking all good and stuff. But in private, you're watching things, listening to things, doing things that is not worthy of the call that God's placed on. See, so many times I go, God, I want more anointing. He goes, are you willing to do the hard things? Aurora and I ran the course for the 5K coming up on Thursday yesterday. She's never ran over in Cassin before. And part of the course, there's heels. If you know anything about heels, they're not my friends, even though I'm supposed to call them my friends. And sometimes you have to do the hard things to get the things that God wants you to have. Sometimes, see, a lot of times we're like, well, you know, God wants everything. A lazy boy, there's a reason why Lazy Boy came out with a lazy boy. Because you sit in that thing, and guess what happens? You become lazy. And then when I was in college, we had a chair that was on our wing for years. And they called it the sleeping chair. Because most people that would sit in that chair, and it was a lazy boy, well used, but it was still a lazy boy. People would sit in that thing and fall asleep within 5 minutes. Sometimes we do that with our walk with Christ. We put it in like, well, I'm just going to take it easy today. And the devil's like, oh, good, you're going to take a nap. You know, like, what's about? Oh, poppies. Poppies is what they need. Maybe not. Okay. But the thing about it, Paul's praying for us, for them, that we would count, that we'd be worthy of His calling. He has a calling for your life. And it's going to look different for everyone. My calling's different. My calling's not even to be a pastor. My calling's to honor God, to worship Him. And the thing about it is that we're all have the same calling, but yet we do it, operate differently. You know what your calling is? It's to worship God. That ultimately what we're called to do is to worship God, glorify God. Our second thing is to obey God. If Adam and Eve would just obey God, we would not be in this mess. Because of, you know what the first command was? Anybody know? Be fruitful and multiply. They didn't be fruitful and multiply until after they got kicked out of the garden. If they were fruitful and multiplying in the garden, I don't think they would have enough time to worry about that tree. See, so many times, we're not doing what God asked us to do. And so we're over here looking at this tree like, oh, this tree looks yummy. And he goes, Doc, hands off. You know, like that little kid that, can I get a cookie before supper? No, hands off. And the little kid's like, nah, it's Thanksgiving. I'm going to get me an extra piece of pie. But if we're over here doing what God is, being worthy of God's calling, we don't have to worry about sin. And guess what? You don't have to worry about what other churches are doing, or what other people are doing, or whatever ministries are doing, because you're over here, you are focusing on what God's called you to do. And we can live a life worthy of that call. And you can draw closer to God. He runs, as you run to Him, He's done everything He's going to do. He died on the cross, He died for your sins, He set you free, He delivered you, and now what you get to do is run after Him. We can go after Him, and we get to live a life worthy of His calling. Like, yes! What does that look like? It's going to look different for everyone because it's your life. It's the things that God's called you to do. And then He goes, as I'm praying for you, may He give you power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Has God ever prompted you to do something? I hope so. I hope, as a believer walking as a disciple, I'm hoping that somewhere along the line, from the time you say, yes, Jesus, I want to serve you the rest of my life, till today, you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something. There's been many times I've been prompted by the Holy Spirit, but I always come back with an excuse saying, I'm not gifted enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't have enough money. I'm not worthy, et cetera, et cetera. You start feeding yourself these lies, rather than saying, what did Paul say? Paul says here, he goes, may He give you power. He's going to give you the power to carry out what He has placed inside of you. How do I know this from God or the devil or if it's just myself? Well, first of all, the devil will never ask you to do something nice. Okay? And sometimes the Lord will tell you to keep your mouth shut. It's okay to not say something all the time. All right? But the devil will come along and entice you with the flesh. Oh man, if I could just speak my mind, that would feel good. Keep your 2 pennies, because you might need them later. You ever have someone, let me give you my 2 pennies worth. Keep them, I don't need them. But here, he goes, and Paul says, that God will give you the power, the anointing, to accomplish all the good things that faith. I believe that God can do something. Why do we have altar time in service? Because faith arises, and I'm like, now's the time. Now's the time to act. And I'm believing for good things. My goal is that every time we get together is, what can God do at the altar? And so when you carry out, when all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I should be nice. Or I should give an offering. Or I should give a donation. Or I should go be a gentleman or a nice lady or whatever. That you all of a sudden get this prompting. to do something. God's going to give you the power, and not just the power. He's going to give you the ability. He's going to give you the finances. He's going to give you everything to carry out what he has placed inside of you. And you're saying, well, I don't have enough. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You do have enough, not in yourself, not in your bank account, but in Jesus. You have enough in Jesus. You're not enough by yourself. But in Jesus, you're more than a conqueror. Right, Jerry? You're more than a conqueror. You're more than an overcomer. It says, you're more than victorious. See, in Christ, we're different. You know, you might go into your prayer closet like a little putty cat, but you come out like a roaring lion. You might come in defeated, but you're going to go out victorious. Because when you start praying, and not just praying, well, I hope God. No, you're praying like, Lord, I know what you said. I heard what you said. I see what you want me to do. And I'm going to carry it out. Because the faith that rises, how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. So you keep pumping yourself with the Word of God. Well, I'm not a good reader. Good. You're supposed to be hearing. Pull a CD in. Download an app. Listen to it on YouTube with some background music. But get the Word of God flowing into your body and let the faith rise. And start speaking faith. Start speaking life over your situation, over your life. So what if you messed up? Start speaking life. Start rewiring these brain cells in your head, these neurons. They say it only takes you a couple minutes of negative thoughts to pull you down. And the more you complain, the worse it gets. But once you start changing that, the more you say thank you, the more you start saying, you say, well, that's positive psychology. I understand that to a point, but also biblical, because it says life comes out, there's life and death where? In the tongue. That's not, we don't like to say that in the church because we're like, wow, we'd rather be sourpuss. And sometimes you have to tell your face that you're happy. Sometimes you have to say, tell your face, I got joy in my heart. The last couple of revival services, we ended with the song, I got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Guess what? We're going to end that tonight as well. Why? Because we need to tell ourselves the truth. And the truth is God's word. And it will set you free. And so Paul is saying, hey, I'm praying for you. That I'm praying that all that you have the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. I'm telling you, faith will prompt you to do things that you're like, where did this come from? We have a part of our budget at home is our offering budget. I don't know when the last time that thing was in the black. Like you run a deficit in your offering? Yeah. Because God will ask us to give offerings. Like, Lord, I don't know how we're going to afford it. He goes, it's not up to you to afford it. It's up to you to obey. It's up to you to obey. It's up to you to obey. God says, you ever send your child to the store with money, right? And you're hoping that they'll come back with change. At least my parents thought I should. They would send me to the store and say, hey, go up to the produce stand in the summer. There's a produce stand that was like four blocks away. And my parents would give me like $5. This was back when I was a kid, okay? $5 went a little bit farther than it does today. And they go, give us some tomatoes and cucumbers. I'd ride up there. I didn't have to worry about if I had money to do it or not. I didn't have to worry about if my parents had money or not. All I had to worry about is like, I'm on a mission from God or from my parents, and they're going to provide for me. They got me my bike, and I'm riding my bike 4 or 5 blocks away. I get there. They know who I am because we show up. We're friends with the owners. I go, I need $5 worth of tomatoes and cucumbers or whatever it was. And they load me up. I have my 2 bags. And I'd be like, all right, I'm on the way back home. Because guess what? My faith arose knowing that they were going to provide. And they're going to take care of me. And then we get older and we're like, well, Lord, I'm not sure how you're going to do it. Guess what? Nothing has changed for me. If God tells me to do it, let's do it. Why not? Well, you take your well and throw it overboard. Because if my God says we can do it or we should do it, let's do it. Because if whatever you say, well, it becomes higher than God. And I'm here to serve God, not the well. And so here we go. Then he goes, then the name of the Lord Jesus will be honored because the way you live your life. Can you imagine people look at you like, whoa, they actually did what God told them to? Whoa, the Holy Spirit is doing what? See, you give God the glory because guess what? When the Holy Spirit starts prompting you to do things, two things will happen. I guarantee you two things will happen. You'll have those who will be your biggest cheerleader. And that will be one of them. And then you'll have those who are naysayers. Where are you? God told you to do that? And if you come to me and say, I think God told me to do this, I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, I know I pick on Jerry a lot about her music, but Jerry and I both know that God calls her to do music. So I keep pushing her. Because I believe in her. And then she sends me some music and I make videos and send them back to her. Because your church family should be your biggest cheerleader. And those who you live with should be your biggest cheerleader. But I know that's not always true. And I don't live in ultimate reality. I understand that your home life is not always your biggest cheerleader, but your church should be your biggest cheerleader. If God told you to do it, the church should rally around you to help you through it, to encourage you. What if I mess up? Opportunities to grow. Opportunities to move forward. I've learned more from messing up and trying things than if I never did. There's some things I'm like, when I was younger, when I rollerbladed downtown Minneapolis, I did some of the stupidest things. You know, I was 21 years old, I had a pair of rollerblades, I had my knee pads and my wrist guards, no helmet at the time. And there's some things I'm like, how did I survive that? Now I look back at it, I'm like, how stupid was I? But I had people who I roleplay with encouraging me to do those things. See, I have people in my life right now that are encouraging me to do the things God's called me to do. They might not understand me. And that's okay. But in this, but for us, I believe we need to encourage one another. God tells you to do what? Hey, how can the church come along and help you? How can the church come along and bless you and help you? See, that's what Paul's saying. We get to encourage one another. And then, the work of faith. And then, that God will be glorified. Jesus will be honored because of the way you lived. And the cool thing about it, when you honor Jesus, he's going to honor you. When you lift up the name of Jesus, when you glorify God, Lord, I glorify you. He goes, good. I'll take care of it. A lot of times we're like, well, I need this, this, and this. God goes, no. What you need is to glorify me, and everything will be great. You know, there's a song that came out years ago. I'll magnify the Lord for he is worthy to be praised. Remember that one? It was just from Petra Praise. When we glorify, magnify God, nothing else matters. Nothing else absolutely matters in life. When we glorify God, He'll give us the desires of our hearts. What's your desire? What is your true desire? Some of you are like, well, I don't know. Is your desire to reconcile with a family member? God can do that. But glorify God. Is it to see your family saved? Hopefully that's all of our desires. That guess what? When you glorify God, when you do the things, guess what? Don't make family more important than God. Make God more important than your family. I'm not saying church. I'm not saying religion. I'm saying God. What God asks you to do, go for it. You know, I went down to Cuba 5 years ago. That was one of the greatest trips I ever took. And I knew I was supposed to go. And there's more trips to come. Because there's something that God stirred. Don't be dismayed by what God's calling you to. Be excited because He's going to take care of you. He's going to meet the need along the way. And then He goes, this is all made possible. You ever seen, this is made possible by XYZ. The way you live your life, the what you do is all made possible by whom? Jesus. By His grace. Because all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. All because what Jesus did on the cross, He made it possible for you to serve Him, for you to bless Him, for you to live a life according to His pleasures. I don't know about you. You know, His mercies are new
every morning.
When you wake up tomorrow morning, declare, thank you for your new mercies, Lord. Thank you for your grace to get through this day. Thank you that I'm not going to hurt somebody today. Thank you, you're going to help me keep my mouth shut when I need to keep it shut. Thank you, you're going to help me open my mouth when I'm supposed to open it. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to thank people along the way. Thank you, Lord. So you start claiming, you start proclaiming what you want. When you wake up in the morning, think in the book of Job, God told Job, who put the morning in orbit along those lines? Who ordered the morning, Job? Job goes, you did, God. He goes, good. And so when you wake up, you can say, this is the day. Doesn't matter what the day holds. It's still today. Sunday, November 23rd, I think it is. This is the day the Lord has made. And everything, all good and perfect gifts are for me. Because He made this day. And everything, and all these things that want to chop me down, all these attacks that wants to take me out, they can't. Because His word says today is the day of salvation. He says, today is the day that no weapon formed against me, because this is the day He has made. No devil can make this day. It's too beautiful. This day is so awesome. Not just this day, but tomorrow morning when you wake up, this day is going to be great because I get to serve God. And He ordered my steps because I'm the steps of the righteous. He made me righteous. So my steps are ordered by God. I'm going to do great, mighty things for Him. Well, when something bad happens, guess what? He gave me the steps. And He has ordered my day. And I'm going to rock and roll because He's given me the authority to trample on Satan's head. When the day arises, and when you put your head down and say, Lord, as I go to sleep, You're still awake. Protect my thoughts and my dreams. And anything that tries to attack me while I'm resting, and You, Lord, You keep them at bay. Because You can declare the things of God. Because they're God, and He's given you these. What promise in the Bible is not for you? Because if we're a seed of Abraham, we're the child of God, and Abraham has, and we're in the same family as Father Abraham. I'm one of his sons. You're one of his sons or daughters. And if the promise was for Abraham and his seeds,
And I'm part of that seed now because I'm in the family of God. Those promises are for me. They're yes and amen. As I serve God, I got promises that I don't even know about yet. And because He has given His life for us, we get to serve Him. We get to bless Him. We get to go after Him. And we're blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm blessed and highly favored. And I'm one of His favorites. I'm not on His milk carton. I am on His refrigerator. Because milk cartons means you're lost. But guess what? I am found in His wallet. Or now you can say I'm His phone. When He opens it up, guess who He sees? He sees me. Me. Because I'm blessed and highly favored. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed and highly favored because of Him. Because of His grace.
Nothing's on His refrigerator.
That's all right. I'm on His phone. He doesn't eat.
That's in your pocket. Can't see.
But sometimes we just got to declare things over our lives. And we'll run through these declarations once again at the end of service, because I believe that we need to start declaring God things over our life. Whether it's like, well, I messed up as a mom. I messed up as a dad. But I don't want that to hold me back. I want that to propel me to be even greater in Christ. Where can I say, oops, I messed up here. Let me move forward. Guess what? You're not a mistake, and you're not an accident. And you're not here by mistake or accident today. Should some people be here today? I believe so. Because they're struggling. And when people struggle, you know the last place they want to be? In church. Where they're accepted and loved. See, well, they'll say, I can't go to church because I got this issue and I got that and I'm struggling. Okay, you're struggling. Okay. Let's get through this. You don't have to struggle alone. There's people in the church that love them. And we're not mad at them. And God's got great things in store for them. And they need to hear a message that there's hope. We sing a song. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's hope. Lois, there's hope. There's hope, Jen. There really is. It might not seem like it right now, but there's hope. There's hope, Mary. It might seem like all hockey sticks breaking out around you, but there's still hope. Because my hope is not in the government. My hope is not in a message. My hope is not in this or that. My hope is in Jesus. And what his word says. My hope is not in the latest and greatest. My hope is I can fly anywhere and everywhere. His name is Jesus. That's where my hope lies. Because guess what? The government is going to be doing governmental stuff. But my Jesus is greater than that. Our Jesus is greater than that. My hope is in Jesus. That's where my hope comes from. It doesn't come from anything else. It comes, and guess what? In John 1 it says, the Word became flesh. So my hope comes from His Word. And it became flesh. And He dwelt among us. We'll celebrate His dwelling among us in a few short weeks on Christmas. His dwelling's among us. He's here with us. And now he left, but He did not leave us as orphans. But He sent His Holy Spirit to carry out what He's called you to do. I've got hope. I've got hope in a hopeless situation. It might not turn out the way I think it's going to, but I still have hope in Jesus.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that our hope is in you. Our hope is knowing that you are on the throne.